In his book, The Faces of Jesus, Frederick Buechner reminds us that the earliest reference to the resurrection is in Paul's letters, which were written decades before the Gospels. Paul makes no mention of an empty tomb at all. But, Buechner says, the fact of the matter is that in a way, it hardly matters how the body of Jesus came to be missing, because in the last analysis, what convinced people that he had risen from the dead was not the absence of his corpse, but his living presence. And so it has been ever since. It's my hope that over the next several weeks, as we look at different people's encounters with the risen Jesus in the Gospels, we too will recognize Jesus' living presence in our lives. Earlier in worship, you heard a poem called Recognizing You by Amy Robinson. And we'll be sharing a verse from that poem each week. This week, we're thinking about recognizing Jesus in the garden. And so here is the first verse of that poem. Jesus in the garden, newly risen from the dead, who stood by weeping Mary, and who heard the words she said as if you were the gardener, till at last your shepherd's voice called her Mary, and with one word gave her reason to rejoice. Jesus in the garden, ever new, but still the same, help me recognize you in the speaking of my name. Today we look again at part of the scripture that we read last Sunday from John's Gospel and that you heard earlier. In this account, Mary Magdalene is outside the empty tomb weeping. She had come to the tomb while it was still dark and found it empty. First, they had killed Jesus, and now, she believed, his body had been stolen away. After running to tell the disciples who saw the empty tomb and then left, she could do nothing but weep. None of this seemed real. She had been healed by Jesus, freed from the demons that had haunted her. And since then, she had followed Jesus and supported his ministry wherever he went, seeing others healed, watching as they realized how special Jesus was, that Jesus was the Son of God. She had heard the complaining of the disciples and the criticism of the religious leaders. She had seen the adoration of the people when they entered the city on Sunday, and their hostility when they stood before Pilate at the end of the week. She stood under the cross as they killed him, and her heart was broken. Now it was all over. She may have thought, the least I can do is anoint the body with spices. Everyone deserves a proper burial. But now even that was being denied. Her heart was heavy, and in her soul it was still dark. In her grief, she looked in the tomb one more time, as if she just needed to see again that this horrible thing had really happened. This time, though, the tomb was not empty. Instead, there were two angels asking why she was crying. She answered, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him." Something outside the tomb drew her attention as she spoke, perhaps the sound of a twig snapping or the feeling of eyes on her back. She turned and saw a strange man standing there. And he asked her the same question, "Why are you crying?" And added, "Who are you looking for?" Assuming through her tears that he was the gardener, she begged him for information on where Jesus' body had been taken. When I picture this scene, I feel in my bones the despair that Mary was feeling. I also imagine that Jesus had a little twinkle in his eye, as if he already knew the punchline of a joke that was soon going to be enjoyed by everybody else. And then I hear Jesus saying with a tender, gentle voice, one word that changed everything for Mary. He he said her name. And in that moment, she knew who he was. Somehow, beyond all her wildest hopes and expectations, it was Jesus. He was alive. There's kind of a sweet irony that without knowing it, Mary correctly identified Jesus as the gardener, one who is bringing a new world, a new life, a new creation into being, just as he had done before. At the beginning of John's gospel, we read that all things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And now, as the gospel writer draws near the end of the story, here is proof of that. The darkness did not overcome the light. Jesus is alive. Mary didn't get much time with him. She wanted to hold on to him, to be assured that things would now finally go back to normal. But Jesus' resurrection wasn't a promise that things would be like they used to be for Mary or for us. It was and is a promise that the power that raised Jesus from the dead will never abandon us and is at work even now, calling us by name and doing a new thing. We often wish, in the middle of hard times, that things could go back to the way they were. But God isn't in the business of going backwards. Whether it is life after a pandemic, changes in our church, or challenges in our personal lives, God is always doing a new thing, bringing more light and life. And God wants us to be a part of that new thing. Jesus told Mary that they both still had things to do. He needed to return to God, and she needed to be the very first to bear witness to what we still proclaim: Christ is risen. But that one moment, that one syllable was life-changing. Jesus spoke her name. Jesus knew her, and that made all the difference. The good news of Easter for us is the same as it was for Mary. Jesus is alive, and he knows us by name. Our Old Testament scripture today reminded us that God created us, God redeems us, and God calls us by name. In these uncertain days, it can feel like, as Mary Chapin Carpenter sings in her song, It Is Love, it seems so black outside that you can't remember light ever shone on you or the ones you love in this or another lifetime. Even in our darkest hour, though, when all seems lost, God is at work to bring about light. We may have many reasons to weep, to grieve what we have lost, and it's not wrong to do that. We should, like Mary, bring our tears and fear and grief to the garden, pouring out our hearts, explaining all the ways that it shouldn't have to be like this. But may we also, like Mary, take comfort in knowing that the Savior we love also loves us and tenderly calls us by name, even or maybe especially in the midst of sorrow and disappointment. May we recognize Jesus when he comes to us in the gardens where we cry, standing beside us, knowing everything about us and loving us. And may we join Mary in proclaiming to a weeping world that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.